Part of that settling in process is involvement in the NFL's effort to change locker room culture. It's part of the NFL Player Engagement Department's effort to educate players on the right locker room culture. They have a number of ambassadors, most of them former NFL players who conduct these seminars for NFL players. The Bills is coming up this weekend, and one of the ambassadors who will be there is a former Buffalo Bill. He played for 7 teams over 12 years. He played for the Buffalo Bills in 2009. Linebacker Chris Draft, now an NFL ambassador, and he joins us live on the line right now. Chris, good evening. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
How did you get tapped to be one of these NFL ambassadors?
I think I was a squeaky wheel when I was playing. It was talking about all the improvements that could happen, and also really just the tremendous opportunity of playing in this league. And I was disappointed at times that our guys weren't reminded about, you know, what they could do in impacting their community enough. And I think I said that enough that when I was done, that Commissioner Goodell said, we got to have you doing something up here at all.
You know, it seems to me this has all had renewed emphasis, not just because of the Miami incident last year. We'll talk about that. But Troy Vincent and, in fact, even Kim Fields, who we had on the show here a couple of months ago, they've done a pretty good job of pushing this to the forefront and making sure that players get the kind of education you're talking about.
Absolutely. We're just in a different world. We're in a different world. And, you know, too often, and, you know, just, you know, football's been kind of a sport where the locker room is the locker room. I mean, you've heard the sayings, what's said here, what's done here, stays here. Well, it's not exactly just staying there. And then that really is not all-encompassing. So if it's something that is, you know, that's not respectful, that is a little bit off the reservation, it's not about just holding it inside. It's about saying that we need to deal with it. And I think that's what this program is about, is just saying that these guys are men. You know, we're men that are playing this game, and we should treat each other accordingly.
Hey, Chris, you said something a moment ago about how it's a different world now, and you've been out of the NFL as a player for 5 years. Is it even different over these last 5 years than when it was when you left the game?
It's absolutely different. I think when you have the social media, has drastically changed, along with the types of phone. You know, I was trying to hold on to a flip phone. I was holding on to a little slide phone where you could do some text messaging. But now it's just amazing how much you can do with social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know, the ability to record people with video. It just makes it where your actions, they can be seen by so many people. So it's important that we're more authentic. I mean, that there's not just the persona for the public, but really that you're living that, which is, you know, ideal anyway.
Chris Draft, our guest, former linebacker in the NFL, a stint with the Bills in 2009, now an NFL ambassador for the player engagement. So, Chris, give us you've done a couple of these before. This isn't your first one this weekend in Buffalo, correct?
Yeah. So I actually spoke to Chicago Bears a couple of weeks ago.
Give us an example of what that discussion is like, how long it is, and who will be talking to the players in this event.
Well, maybe it'll be about 45 minutes to an hour. And the key is to just have a discussion about the issues that are coming up. And I know, you know, you talked about Richie in terms of hazing. We have to address that. We have to address the issues regarding having Michael Sams playing right now as an Oakland A player. We have to talk about issues in terms of the N-word, where right now there's potential of getting fined for using that word. So we have to talk about those things along with some other things that are a little bit more that are kind of these buzz issues in the NFL. And instead of just putting down rules that really challenge you to have respect by regulating it, but really having a discussion and saying, you know, where we can come to a consensus that it's the right thing to do.
You know,
that's your teammate.
Yeah.
And that we need to take care of our teammate.
Some might say, old school people might say, Chris, hey, that's the coach's job to tell them what's right, what's wrong, what's acceptable. Not so.
Mm-hmm. I think some old school people will say that. They really will. But I think again, having a discussion is not about just saying just right and wrong and kind of going out there saying black and white, but really saying, you know, really kind of coming to a consensus together that it's the right thing to do. That having respect of men is the ultimate on a team anyway. It, you know, the game of football is about respect and trust. And so when you have a teammate that doesn't feel comfortable, and then, again, the other side is our ultimate goal is winning. So if a teammate doesn't feel comfortable, they don't feel like they're if they're accepted, are you going to get the best out of them? And if our ultimate goal is winning, and we want the best out of everyone on that team.
Chris Draft is our guest. He's going to be talking to the Buffalo Bills players at training camp this weekend about locker room culture, part of the NFL player engagement. I wonder, Chris, do you look for, like, leaders? And, as you said, you got 45 minutes or an hour, but mm-hmm. is it important to reach captains or leaders in order to change locker room culture?
Absolutely. I mean, the leaders, from year to year, I know you've been around for a long time, they can drastically change what the culture is. I mean, the culture of the Bills with a guy like Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Bruce Smith, Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley. I mean, that's a different locker room than the locker room now. It doesn't say it's just so much better, but at the same time, it's different. And I think it's important that the leaders really set the tone. So we're going to have some time prior to the main meeting to sit down with some of the guys, and their buy-in is essential to really, again, understanding this is something that is necessary from an NFL level, but really more necessary because, again, we want to get the most out of our players.
Do you find that the player buy-in is pretty good in the events you've had so far and the lectures you've had so far on player engagement?
Absolutely. I mean, some people are, initially they have their opinions about what they think on certain issues, but after you have a little bit more of a conversation and you realize at the end of the day, is that if someone's feeling uncomfortable, if there's just issues in their locker room, more than anything, even if you have a chance to lose. And I think case in point, when you look at Richie Incognito and everything that went down with him and Jonathan Martin, it was terrible what happened, and the words and text messages that came out were horrible. But really, what was lost in it was the Jonathan Martin that they had traded for a guy the week before he had left, and really the pressures of football to be able to perform. And so what was lost was that, and then what was lost was games afterwards because the team was completely distracted and just, out of sorts until those things could get resolved. And so I think our team is, we want to address it because it's the right thing to do, but then as a team, you want to address it because there's no need for those distractions.
You spent a dozen years in the league as a player, Chris. Did the revelations of the Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito incident, did they surprise you?
It surprised me in that, not as much because I know Richie. He can be a little bit crazy. But at the same time, what was really, I think, was really disappointing was there really was not enough discussion about just how difficult it is to play in this game. And Jonathan was struggling on the field, and there was nothing to really talk about, just the pressure of being able to play and how, when it's your dream and you get there and you don't feel like you're performing, that it's not just bullying that's going to push you over, but that bullying could be on top of something that's a lot bigger.
Chris Draft is our guest. He's a former Bills linebacker, a 12-year NFL veteran. He'll be speaking to the Bills at training camp about locker room culture coming up this weekend at St. John Fisher College. On the Incognito issue, Chris, it struck me, and I think I asked this question of Kim Fields a couple of months ago,
mm-hmm.
How important is it for coaches to be engaged? And, many coaches will tell you, the locker room is their sanctuary. I'm mm-hmm. not going to interfere. Would these situations be helped by coaches maybe spending more time around the player locker room?
Absolutely. I think what's important is that it's not just the players' locker room. Again, definitely it's their locker room, but it's an organization. It's part of that organization. I think as we talk about not just the locker room culture and changing that, but really just expanding just what the workplace looks like and in where you're expected to be met. And so that's from a locker room to throughout the organization and out in the community. So we're holding people really just to a higher standard, and I think definitely that comes from the top down in terms of ownership, management, and coaching staff that says, hey, we're not, we don't just want football players, we want men.
And it's important, I guess. I mean, you don't think you'll walk out of the Buffalo team meeting room down in Rochester this weekend and the culture will change, right? It could take time. It could take years.
Well, it's always a process. I mean, anything that happens can, something good, something bad can affect that locker room. So what's what's important is more that there's just a commitment to what kind of locker room they want, and you're either there or you're getting there, or you're there and you have to maintain it. So it's not something that you decide on one day and you've arrived, but it's something that, just like with football, that we have to constantly work at.
Chris, I want to ask you a couple of questions about your tenure here in Buffalo. 2009 season, they brought you in, I think, after Kavika Mitchell got hurt about 4 or 5 weeks into the season, and you finished up the rest of that year. Started a few games in 2009.
Yes.
What do you recall about the year?
I tell you, I love playing in Buffalo. I mean, it's just nothing like the energy of Ralph Wilson Stadium and a community that just lives and dies football. I mean, just a tremendous community. I mean, my favorite memories of that year is really when we beat the Miami Dolphins, and just hearing everyone say, you know, letting the song play, let the Buffalo Bills will make you wanna, you know, and just have it all over the place, man. Just so much energy, so much passion, and it just felt great to win in a place like that and absolutely uplift the community.
It was a 6-win season for the Bills, and you were here for the coaching change, right? When Perry Fuel replaced Dick Geron.
Yes.
How was that to adjust to?
Unfortunately, I've had some coaching changes throughout my career, but. Perry was great. I mean, it was a very smooth transition. It's just as hard. I mean, any time that happens, for the most part, you're going to struggle a little bit during the season. And there were some injuries that really did work hand in hand with everything else that was going on too. But the guys, they stayed together and they kept on fighting. And that's really what you want. And you can see some of those core guys that are still around. But as long as they keep on fighting, man, that's what you want, because then we can keep moving into the next year.
Yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you what the locker room culture was like in that year for the Bills. As I said, it was a 6-win season, but what was it like around the Buffalo Bills that year you were here?
Yeah, I mean we had a great group. I mean, there's definitely some guys that kind of struggled. I wouldn't say more with kind of a locker room culture, but just really struggled with a little bit of adjustment. I mean, a guy like Aaron Maven, who was kind of struggling with being in Buffalo and other guys. I think with Buffalo, it's not as much of kind of a locker room culture as much as just an adjustment just to being in Buffalo that guys have to deal with. And that's really what the player engagement department is about with the NFL, is really meeting the players where they're at, not just having blanket programs or development programs, but really asking each individual, what are your issues? One team, it might be a little bit more of the locker room. Another one, it's just more of transitioning and understanding how to drive in the snow.
You mentioned Aaron Maben. I believe that was his rookie year, right? His first year with the Bills.
Yes.
What do you think? I don't want you to, trash the guy, but what do you think it was about him that, that he didn't have more success in the league? Was there something about his personal makeup, or is it just an ability question? What do you make of that a couple of years removed?
I think it was a little bit hard for him to transition, after having a great year. He had a lot of people that told him how great he was. And probably one of the best things that you can do is be humble when you come into the game, and then also really understand where you stand. I knew that throughout my career, and that meant that I was always on the borderline between being on my way out versus in.
Yeah.
So I was, whatever you need me to do, coach. And I think, he got that a little bit as he moved to another, some of the other teams. But if he'd had a little bit more of that mindset, that would have helped him out. That says, hey, man, whatever you need me to do, coach. And really being more, real very coachable and saying, hey, what can I do? How can I? And we had a great group of D linemen. How can I look at what you're doing and learn from it?
Hey, Chris, we've talked to you a lot tonight about locker room culture, but you've hinted at outside the locker room culture. And, boy, it's hard to find anyone who's done a better job at that in the community than you. Tell me about the Chris Draft Family Foundation.
So our mission is to empower families to live healthy lifestyles. It was inspired by two people that had cancer that I taught special ed kids in high school. One of my teachers, who actually was diagnosed with lung cancer about 2 years after I left high school and passed about a year and a half later, and a high school coach of mine that had melanoma. actually just passed a couple of years, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, the inspiration was the cancer gives you a sense of urgency. And how, you know, what would people need to have in their lives if cancer came in, you know, in terms of the strength of physical strength, of mental strength, emotional strength, and then financial strength. And so that's what this foundation was based on, and until we added an addition, and that addition was the team draft. And team draft was inspired by my wife who absolutely loved coming to Buffalo. She was there in 2009. She was cheering. She was bundled up. She was having a ball while we were up there. And unfortunately, was diagnosed with lung cancer in December of 2010. So, and you know, the great thing was that I was done. I was done, so I could be with her at that time. Absolutely horrible, horrible diagnosis. But stage 4 lung cancer. She's never smoked, or amazing shape. You know, challenged me to do P90X and run a 10K with her, and out of nowhere, lung cancer.
Wow.
And so serious that, man, just put up an amazing fight. His ability to smile each day and continue just thinking about other people. But, after a year, and pretty much a year from her diagnosis, she passed December 27th, 2011. And we've been leading a national campaign to change the face of lung cancer since then. I've been to over 130 cancer centers across the country. I've spoken numerous places. And really what we've done is said, you know, we're going to put the survivors out in front and allow them to share their stories and build the compassion for this disease. My wife's amazing, and, you know, she was just, you know, just energy and love and all that. And that's what we want people to see with our survivors, and so that they can understand why this is important and why we need to get more research so that we can save more lives.
Yeah, I remember the story, Chris, and it's a tragic, heartbreaking story. My heart goes out to you. And the one thing that stuck with me, your wife, and you mentioned it, your wife never smoked. And I think that's part of the message, right? Anyone can get lung cancer.
Yeah. Anyone can, man. It's crazy, man. Never smoked, and just, like I said, she's amazing lady.
Chris.
Amazing lady. And there's so many other folks that are very similar to her, and that's what we try to make sure, that this is not just a bad luck thing where it was my wife, but really that there are too many other folks that are getting that same disease with not enough treatment to be able to handle it, and that's why research is important.
Chris, how much does that tragic story, the story of your life, inform the type of things you talk to NFL players about in the player engagement meetings?
It affects it so much. I think I was prepared of sorts for what happened with my wife because, you know, football, you know, I played on 7 teams, man. I didn't know if I was coming or going, so I always had to make the best of every situation. You know, football tells you it's not for long, and you really just can't count on it. And so you need to make the most of the situation and where you're at, and hopefully make a great impact on the people around you. I think that's really a lot of this message, is to not be so selfish that you have to hold on to kind of the children's game, but to really be men and love this game, love it and respect it enough to do your best, and know that to do your best, you need great teammates. And so take advantage of each of these days, love these days, love the days of training camp, even though it can be hot and it can be a little tough, but love it, because it'll be over in 2 seconds.
That's a great message, Chris, and I can't think of a better spokesman for that message than you. Now, I'm doing the math here. You're only 5 years removed from your playing career. You're going to wind up at Bills camp right before they hit the field for the first time. They just signed a linebacker yesterday. What about it? How about a comeback? Have you given that any thought?
Man, I tell you, I was on the field the other day and running around with some high school kids, and my toes started getting a little bit sore. My back started getting a little bit sore, and I was like, man, no. But I don't think a comeback is in my future. I think the time was right when I finished up. But man, I really have to say that I absolutely enjoyed my time in Buffalo, and definitely was not in my plan. What is my plan? So it was an awesome time. I mean, really, really love the people. The Bills fans are tremendous, and you know, everyone should have a chance to experience going and playing in that stadium.
Well, we loved having you here, Chris, and love talking to you tonight. We'll make a point of reaching out and saying hi to you down at camp this weekend. Thanks very much for doing this.
Awesome.
Thanks for sharing your story with us. Chris Draft played linebacker for seven different teams, as he said, in the NFL over a dozen years. 2009 with the Buffalo Bills. They signed him when Kavika Mitchell got hurt. Remember the horrible 6-3 loss to the Cleveland Browns in the 2009 season? Kavika Mitchell got hurt, and they signed Chris Draft the next day, and he played. He started a few games down the stretch there for the 2009 Buffalo Bills. Not a great season, but certainly some momentous events with Dick Duran's dismissal and Perry Fuel taking over. And as Chris pointed out, the big win, I think it was like 31-14, big win over the Dolphins. I believe it was Thanksgiving weekend that year. What a story. What a great story, and what a great guy to tell the story, Chris Draft. I would imagine that his speech, along with the other NFL ambassadors this weekend to Bills players, I would imagine there's going to be a lot of emotion in that, and probably some a pretty attentive Buffalo Bills players to listen to Chris Draft's story about his career, about locker room culture, and about his story. Amazing. Thanks to him for joining us tonight.